this evening. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the breath of life, Lord God, and for just the fact that, Lord, and all the things that are going on around us, Lord God, that you are with us, Lord, that you are with your people, Father, that you take care, Father, for those that are yours and those that are called by your name. And Lord, this evening, Father, we just want to acknowledge, Lord God, your protection, Father, your provision. Lord, just the way that you watch over each and every person, Lord God, that that walks with you. And so, Lord, this evening we just want to say thank you for that, Father. And Lord, as we just spend some time, Lord God, in your word, as we spend some time, Lord God, looking at your scriptures, Father, we just ask and pray that you would teach us, that you would lead and guide us, Father, into all truth as we just go forward in Jesus' name. And I get out of the way, Father, and I just pray to have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead. I think that might be Anoka. Yep. One, come one, come on. Bullshit. Okay. So, we're shifting for space. All right. Come on here. I'll join you here.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead. Okay. So.
Is it here?
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. All right. So. Okay. We finished a series, and actually last week we started a Q&A, and it went on for a while, but since we have several more people tonight, we can do a small Q&A at the start before we begin, if you guys want.
If you started it in the...
No, it's okay. That's all right. Because actually, all this stuff, too, it should be... we're all of us are constantly learning. You know, when you're on this path and you're walking with Christ, you're in a place where you're constantly growing and testing what you know and seeing, does what I know, does it work? Is it applicable? I mean, you're allowed to, like for example, Matthew 6, where Jesus said, look, seek first the kingdom and I'll take care of the other stuff. So, or I'll take care of your needs. So you're allowed to, because it's the word, if you're seeking first the kingdom, you know that, okay, this is a given. And then you start saying, okay, you know, and then you have to test your heart, and then you check and see, all right, is the word doing what it is that it said it would? So like that, you know, it's we want to have a proper application of the word of God in our lives, because that's another thing too. Sometimes people have created something that's not there, so they've made the word say something that it never did, or they've twisted it for their own agendas, and the end result is that it's not what God spoke. So the prosperity gospel, for example, is like a good example of that, where people who are carnally minded, who are worldly minded, in order to justify their own carnality, in order to justify their own love of money and materialism, they've formed a religion based around their own lust, and they've used the word of God, twisted the word of God, taken things out of context, taken things and used that as a means to justify their own lust. So, and if you walk in the Spirit of God, what happens is when you see that or you hear that, it doesn't settle right with your spirit, because the Spirit of God in you is just like, I don't know what, but when this person talks, it just doesn't fit. It doesn't settle in my spirit. Whereas when somebody speaks the Word of God and they're walking in spirit, it'll resonate in your heart. You'll be like, ha, okay, that matches. That feeds your soul, that feeds your spirit, that feeds the core of who you are. So we're allowed to, Jesus was fielding questions his entire ministry. You know, I mean, he didn't shy away from that. Now, sometimes he answered a question with a question, because he was revealing people's hearts. So he wasn't just, you know, I will be to you whatever you want me to be. I mean, his thing was, he was everywhere that he went, he was light, and he revealed and showed exactly where people were coming from. So he was a tough guy to be around, and ultimately he revealed, you know, this is he revealed, here's where you're at. And either people submitted their hearts and their lives to that for the sake of their love for truth and their love for God, and they allowed him to change them, or they hated him, turned away from him, walked away sad. So it was this, but he forced a reaction. You know, he forced a revelation of the true person. So, right, we'll limit it for a little bit, but if there's a couple, go ahead.
We were talking to a friend yesterday.
Yeah.
He goes to AOG.
Yeah.
And he was a Buddhist, and now he's, you know, doing his heart Jesus, and apparently, you know, AOG has this program called the G12. He doesn't agree with it.
Yeah.
Completely. And you've heard of that. Accountability.
Okay.
I mean, you have 12 people, and you're accountable to all of them, and they share their personal stuff with you, and
I got you.
So he was saying, why should I be accountable to anyone? I'm accountable to God.
That's true. Yeah.
But what he's saying is, I mean, for instance, now we are in that group, and you share everything. You're supposed to share everything, right? So that the other person can correct you if you're wrong, according to God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, the others also do the same.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're share with 12 people, and I mean, and they are sharing their stories with you, and you know, I mean, it's like an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
And then what he was saying was, in case something happens and, you know, you have a misunderstanding and you leave the group, it does happen, right? So they go and gossip their personal stuff. They go and tell this person, and then it's just known in the whole church.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, I mean, in this context, in this country.
Exactly.
See, yeah.
So there is no confidence.
No. You know where something like that comes from. It's something that they would create. Okay, let me explain a little bit about how the system of church, because I used to be an Assemblies of God pastor. I used to be a part of that whole system.
Yeah.
The system of religion, and I've been on pastoral staff at other churches as well, or ministerial staff, sorry. The religious system is different than your walk and your relationship with God. The system, how it works, it's the goal of it is program based for the sake of numbers. And so, for example, something like this G12 concept, it's just another concept that's based on the same issue of, okay, they've got a bunch of people showing up, so you have 1,000 people coming to your building with no connection whatsoever. So what they've done is they've said, okay, we need to have some sort of sense of community for people that are here. So let's break things up and create some way so people have, so basically the goal is to have, keep people there, to keep them involved. And so a concept like that then would probably be based in, I'm sure it came from somewhere in California.
Yeah.
Without even you saying, because it's not something that is it's very much based on a commercial form of Christianity.
Yeah.
that's not Christ. I mean, see, then they'll take something like, okay, Jesus has 12 disciples, and so they'll try to use numbers and things like that, but it's purely carnal.
Relate to current.
No. And here's the thing too. With those 12 people, you're being assigned 12 by your congregation, or you're being put in a group that's close to your locality. Mm. So it's like, because you're not being put with somebody that's, you know, over and you're living in Malabay and somebody else is in Colombo 3. No, you're being put with people that are close to you, so that it's convenient and everything like that. And ultimately, one, if your programs don't work, They never have, they never will. And now, what they do serve to do is they'll serve to get numbers together. But as far as ministering to the needs of your soul and your spirit, not going to happen. But what they've done is, with this program, based on a flawed Western model, you'll have people coming together like that. But it's really going to be damaging. Because here's the thing too. I have some people in my life that are kind of at the core of like my buddy Patrick, for example. Yeah. He lives in Canada.
But that's your best friend.
We will connect and I mean, we'll talk on the phone or something like that, or
strangers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
In this context, in this culture where everybody loves gossip, where everybody has not, then these are, and most people that go, I mean, most of the pastoral leadership of these churches are involved in fraudulent business deals, or have some questionable backgrounds with lifestyle and sexual abuse of children. There's stuff like that comes out. So when your leadership is in that kind of condition, then when you start talking down to, okay, what's the condition, like the spiritual, what will be in the leadership, it gets sown into the congregation. So in the end, this is your group now. Oh, here, you're assigned now 11 other people. Come sit down and tell them everything going on in your life. And you're also telling me that these people will be able to instruct me in the Word of God. The wheat and the tares grow together. And actually, there's mostly tares in a Sunday meeting in most of these places. You'll find very little wheat anymore, because most of them are being actually drawn out by the Spirit of God in these days from that system, because the system in and of itself is not where God is. He's dwelling in the midst of His people, and it's not happening within the programs. So they're creating more and more programs and more structure, and actually it's damaging people. So your friend, he's right in that. See, he's actually thinking and critically analyzing something that's being forced on him.
Yeah, he said he has told the group they're assuming that he's joining, and he said, listen, I've got to think about it. Give me some time. I'll think about it and get back to you. And they were like sending him text messages, and then they were going on like a retreat, get to know them, like the group. And then you had to pay £2,000 or something just to go on that retreat. And so he had said, he had sent a text and said, you know, I don't think I can make it.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. Then he got a text back and said, if it's the money, don't worry about the money, we'll pay it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's dangerous, because see, also too, actually you can go back to the Babylonian system, where this is actually where it came from. This actually goes back to Nimrod and the affair that he had with his mom and all of that. They created a system even within the pagan religion where, and this is actually where in Catholicism you get confession. That's the modern day practice of it.
Exactly.
But basically what it is, and what they did back then was they would, have people come confess to these pagan priests, or basically say, here's what's going on with me, and then they would then in turn go and, you know, tell Nimrod's mom and all that. And so they'd have this overarching, like, here's what we got on you kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so, but even here, you would be much safer in the Catholic Church
than
you would be in those groups there. And so I would tell your friend, join the Catholic Church well before you go to that G12 group, because that group in and of itself, especially in this context, is very dangerous.
I'm surprised that a denomination like AOG would come up with something like that. You know, because, I mean...
AOG is not what it used to be. See, here's the thing, too. Azusa Street is done and finished. Azusa Street in what, I think is 1907 or whatever, where there was this outpouring of the Spirit of God and all of that. See, God is progressive. He continues to move. And even in the very start, in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 5, you have a case where Satan seeks to infiltrate the very first church with Ananias and Sapphira. And so, he never stops. He always seeks to infiltrate. He has thoroughly infiltrated the Assemblies of God. He's thoroughly infiltrated virtually every denomination there is in the world. And so, unless somebody has God's Spirit in them and the discernment, and they're walking with Christ for themselves, they can't tell the difference. So what happens is, when they've bought what did Jesus say too? What did the Word of God say too? Because they refuse to love the truth, God gives them over to a strong delusion so that they believe the lie and so be damned. So there's a lot of people that refuse to love the truth. They love their denomination, or they love their system, or they love the social network or the support group more than they love truth. And because of that, they get a strong delusion. And so even with all of this stuff too, it's like the reason that they do that, the reason they set up those systems, is to keep you there, is to get tabs on you, is to, okay, now, oh, here's the horrible thing that you did back when you were, you know, 19 or 15 or 25 that you're struggling with or whatever, and so now, oh, we know this about you, and so it's nothing about you walking your life out with Christ and the strengthening of your relationship with Him. Because the system of the world, remember, we've talked about now the world works on a system of guilt and shame and keeping you stuck in the system and being able to control you through guilt and shame. And so part of that is they have to let you know, here's what we got on you. All the way to politicians that, you know, have some sexual orgy with a bunch of kids and they get it on video, and then the next time the guy's got to make a vote, they say, oh, by the way, we want you to vote yes on this because here's a copy of the DVD that we've got that we're ready to send to CNN. Well, not CNN, because CNN's controlled as well. But just like, I mean, it's like, it's all part of the same system. Ultimately, you have the kingdom of this world, and you have the kingdom, and you have the kingdom of God. And all of the system of the world, including the religious system of the world, is constantly working to keep you from ever walking out life with truth and walk out life with Christ. So what you have to do is realize these are part of the traps and the schemes that they're doing, and just don't be a part of it. Allow the Spirit of God to lead you. So even there, okay, for example, your friend has the Spirit of God working in him.
Obviously.
The Spirit of God quickens him, and so you have this group of 11 dead people, and the Spirit of God quickens him and says, don't go in there. Because if you go in there, they're trying to trap you, they're trying to, they don't have your best interest at heart. And, you know, in the same way that they'll pay for your drugs, they'll pay for your trip. You know, it's like to get you started down this path. Stay out. Stay away from it. And so he needs to, and this is where you learn to trust the Spirit of God that leads and guides you into all truth, and trust the caution that he gives you when he says that. And he'll do that all the time. He'll do that with this. He'll do that if you're going out for an evening to someplace. He'll do that in a conversation with somebody. He'll do that. And so many times the Spirit of God will quicken you for your own protection. Sometimes it's just say turn left when you were going to turn right. you learn to trust the Spirit of God the way that He's leading you. So yeah, your friend, he's on the right course. But here's the thing: when God will put certain people in your life that will be there for you, that will bear your burdens with you.
Yes.
But those are given by Him.
Yeah, you kind of instantly know.
Yeah, God gives them to you, and it's His call, His way, and they're very, very. You can't be assigned these people.
Yes.
It doesn't work like that.
Yes.
So the people too that I have in my life that are kind of serve a certain role like that, they've also earned it. They've been tested, they've been tried, they've walked through a lot of trials with me, they've gone through some stuff. And so they've also earned that position in my life where I would say, okay, this person has earned it. That's why even too, with the apostles, when they were trying to select one to replace Judas, they said, all right, one of the requirements is he's got to have been with us from the very start, for the last 3.5 years. He needs to have been with us from the very start of this whole thing. So there's only two guys that ended up qualifying. And they cast lots to see which one of them it would be. But it's like, it was necessary that they had been through some stuff with them. So even when God puts certain people in your life, He'll give you a witness in your spirit. And also they will have gone through some things with you along the path and along the way. And the cool thing about those people is that you keep them. They stay with you.
Yeah.
So when you can not touch base with them for 5 years and then you can meet them again. And it'll be like, because the Spirit of God in you and the Spirit of God in them, you just catch right up in 5 minutes and they're part of your life. Because they're eternal. They're eternal people. As just as you are. So, but yeah, tell your friend he's right on track, and just be careful.
And I shared the tithes thing with him. I think I mailed it to him, and he has issues with that as well because he wants to know. I mean, he was asking us, I mean, where do you think I should put my tithes? I said, just put it where God leads you.
Yeah.
You know, because.
Have him listen on the website. It's under, I think it's under banned sermons, but it's the truth about tithing. And there's that whole, there's like 13 pages right up.
I mailed it to him.
Yeah.
And what he said was, like for instance, you know, I mean, does it have to go into a church? I said, I can't tell you that.
Yeah.
I just can't tell you. I said, you pray about it, then God leads you to do this.
Yeah.
I can't tell you people in this church are, but what I can tell you is, if you pray about it and give it to wherever, put it to wherever, God will make sure that because of your prayers and your sincerity, mm-hmm. that He will make sure that it's utilized in the right sense.
Well, any time that you give, let the Spirit, it's just you letting the Spirit of God lead you too. Because see, also as well, it's scriptures tell us in Proverbs, honor the Lord with the first fruit of your increase. It dishonors God to give to a place that's part of the world system, Babylonian religious system. He had to show me this one. It dishonors Him to give to something that is not Him, because what you're doing is you're putting into something that's in the end is not.
Yes.
It's not His. And so what's happening is, so for example, if you have a system that's religious, a religious system that is enslaving people, is putting them in bondage, is not part of what Christ is doing, where He's setting people free so that they can walk with Him, what ends up happening is you dishonor God by supporting that, by putting something there. Now, this is very different though too. See, sometimes what will happen is you may get a young minister in that's part of that thing, and God will tell you, hey, bless this guy, help this guy. But that purely comes from the Spirit of God telling you, here's where you can help and support somebody. But this again comes down to the individual level, and it doesn't, see, one joint supplieth the need of another within the body of Christ. So what happens is when you're walking with the Spirit of God, He knows where in the body of Christ somebody needs help and support. So when he puts a resource in your care, he'll also instruct you where to put that so it strengthens
but
the body.
Question,
yeah.
Like, for instance, if you're in those churches, mm-hmm. right? I mean, what if there are sincere people who love God and who are really committed to God? And, I mean, what about them then?
You mean the in leadership, or you mean in...
In the congregation, who are working in the church. And
the reason a lot of them are working in the church is because they truly love God, and what they've been told is they've been told, look, if you love God, you will come into quote unquote full time, which is absolutely a distortion, because we were all sent the day we were saved. We all, the day that Christ opens up our heart and our minds, we were all drawn into, are you part of the priesthood of all believers at that moment in time? But what happens too is even with people that are inside those systems, God will sustain and take care of those that are His. And if they're there and God's put them there and they're walking with the Spirit of God, He will also sustain them and take care of them. If they're there because of their own mind's thinking, saying, okay, this is me loving God, showing God how much I love Him by coming into this church and doing... That's still carnal. Does that make sense? Even that is still self-will, self-practice, self-religious practice. And that's actually a dangerous thing, because even there too, maybe God doesn't even want them there. Maybe He wants them in the business world because He can put them in a place where they're making a six-figure salary and they're able to touch a lot more lives. Now, I tell you something, when I used to be on pastoral staff, it drove me nuts because of the fact I could go an entire day and not be around somebody that was hungry for God, or somebody that didn't know Him, or I was around all these religious people all the time within this, and like, I'm like, it drove me nuts, because it's like my heart is for the people that, you know, that don't know Him and would like to know Him, you know, and you want to get that message out. And here it is, I'm like confined in this little place. It's just, it's, yeah. So, I mean, that was part of my mistake. But it was also, too, something that I learned a lot from. So, you know, it's just...
So I guess, I mean, you get your grounding at a church, and then God eventually, you know, if you sustain your relationship with Him and you don't waver, and your heart is right with God, God will eventually move you to, you know, He will obviously move you in case it doesn't work for you.
From day one of whenever God's opened your eyes and your heart, to see you're connected. From day one, walk with the Spirit of God, learn the voice of the Spirit of God, and do whatever it is that He shows you to do. And teach people that. Teach people to know and trust Him. Teach people how to walk with God for themselves, and to not be dependent on a person, but learn His voice. I can't, at this point in time, I can't vouch for any denomination, there's over 30,000 denominations in the world. I can't vouch for a single one of them. Because also the heart of man is deceitfully wicked. And so it's like, it's much, much better for a person to learn the voice of God for themselves and walk that out, because Christ came that we would know and have a personal relationship with the Father for ourselves. So, and actually most of these systems keep you from that. And you can go 15 years inside of there. It's bondage. It's again the religious system of the world, which is a form of bondage, which keeps you from ever knowing God for yourself. And so it gives you a form of godliness that denies the power thereof, and it tells you you're okay. And because you get in the club and you've got five other people patting you on the back saying, oh, you're okay, brother, good job, great to see you on Sunday. Because, and they tell you you're alright, and the whole time you're starving inside. It's not it. That's not what God gave us. So His true people will continue to persist. The ones that are not His will say, oh yeah, this is great for me. What's wrong with you? Okay, so this all leads very nicely into what we were going to talk about tonight. So, we're starting a new series, and loose title of it is The Path of Life. Now, we've already kind of talked about two kingdoms, and you have to see and allow the world to go ahead. You have to see and allow for the world to be switch to spiritualize. There is, so the natural realm is again the illusion. The world of spirit is what's real. In the world of spirit, there's only two kingdoms: kingdom of God, kingdom of this world. So there is no America, there is no Europe, and there's no African nations, and there's no Sri Lanka, nothing like that. There's just the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world, the power of Satan versus the power of God. Now, God allows for certain things to be there for the sake of people exercising also their free will, and for people to also choose this day whom they will serve, to choose which way you want to go, and to get, even in and of themselves, the consequence of their choices. Now, so that's a good pastor I know. One time he said, you know, you can choose whatever you want, you just can't choose the consequences. And it's really true. So you make choice for life. You choose life, and the consequences are, the fruit that's born from that is the manifestation of the Spirit of God in your life, is a life of peace, is God's way being manifest in the reality that you know. So, but it's a walk that we take. So there's the way of the world, and then there's the way of spirit. Now you're surrounded in this world by heavy manifestations of the system of this world. So it takes somebody. You have to have the Spirit of God in you, empowering you, because if you don't, there's no way. You'll automatically default to the world because your flesh is geared towards it. Your mind has been bombarded by it, and you have demonic forces pulling you and coming after you and oppressing you, all of this to push you down that path. So it takes the intervention of the Spirit of God into our lives and into our hearts that strengthens you to go the other way. But we make a willful decision. Do you choose the world or do you choose Him? So we do have choice in this. Now, within these two kingdoms, how are choices and how are decisions made? And the irony of the slavery of this world is it's also done based on self and selfishness. So the kingdom of this world, you remember when we talked about Sodom and Gomorrah last time, or a couple times back, where we just said, I mean, ultimately, what was their sin? It was selfishness. So you go through all of that stuff, is in Ezekiel. You go through, in fact, let me flip back, I can give you the... hang on. Here's Ezekiel 16, 49 and 50, where it, ultimately their sin was selfishness. And that's the world and the world system, and everything that it is based on self and selfishness. And that's why too, part of the path of life is God brings you to a death of yourself. He brings you to the end of yourself, and of who you are in this world so that you can truly live. So he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, have a full life, but that full life is also found in the death of self. That full life is also found in the death of who you are in this world. So this self-importance, this carnal thinking, all of that has to die so that you can actually then move into what it is that he wants for you, what it is that he's planned for you. So so Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25 both say the same thing, which we can flip there. So Proverbs, and this is one we touch on a lot, but I don't mind re-emphasizing it. Proverbs 14. Hang on. Let's see. This is why I usually bookmark before. 14 verse 12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So there's a way that seems right to the mind of man apart from God, the mind of selfish man, the mind, the soulful mind of a person, the ego mind of a person. But that way, in the end, leads to death. And to a lot of things die when you go the way of the world and you go the way of self. And so, and which is hard for people to realize, because what happens is people go down that path of self, and the whole time you think you're choosing stuff that would make your life happy or fulfilled, or but every time you make a choice down that way, you are less fulfilled, more of you has been hurt, more of you has been damaged, more of you has been given away. And it's like, so each time you make a decision based on self, the consequences is like, I'm dying here. Yeah, I'm dying over here. What's going on? I'm like, and so, and then you start getting mad. And in fact, actually, here, this is one. I'll flip to Proverbs 19. Verse 3 says, "The foolishness of a man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord." So a man's own ways destroy his own life, and yet he gets mad at God. So when a person, so the irony too is when people choose their way of self, they choose their own way, then when they get the consequences of their own choice apart from God, they get mad at God, because they're like, "God, how could you let this happen to me? Don't you love me?" And he's like, "Yeah, I love you. That's why I gave you my word. That's why I've offered you my spirit. And if you would just follow that way, you wouldn't have to deal with the consequences of your own stupid choices." So all of, now here's the thing. All of us have done that. All of us have screwed up. The scriptures tell us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So nobody is exempt. So just so you start there, you're like, okay, everybody screwed up, everybody messed up. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for a way out. But see, when people get mad at God, they get mad at God for their own way. And the thing is, he's like, "Look, I'm offering you another way." Okay, Proverbs 14 verse 12 and 16 verse 25. Now, so this is, so now go to contrast that. So that's the way that the world and the people that are in the world and beholden to the world, how they make decisions. Contrast that with Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. So again, you only have two kingdoms. So Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So what you have is now the contrast to the way that the world does things. The children of God are led by the Spirit of God. So again, even the disciples' prayer that they were taught to pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In earth, in me, in this earthen vessel, your will be done. So you're opening yourself up for the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, and you're asking and submitting yourself of your free will to His will. So the Spirit of God leads those that are God's true sons, and they've learned, and daughters, and they've learned how to yield their lives to the leading and the voice of the Spirit. Because again, what did Jesus say in John 10? My sheep know my voice, and they won't follow another. So you've learned how to yield yourself to the voice of the Spirit of God. Now, again, there's a way that seems right unto a man. So there's a way that seems right to your ego, to your flesh, to your soul, mind, that's different than the way that is the voice of the Spirit in you. And so here's something too that we were talking about this the other day, was the thoughts in your head are not you. And this is a trick even of the world, and this is something too that I wish somebody would have told me this a long time ago. And my buddy Zeph, on one of his broadcasts, was talking about this the other day. I was like, thank you, brother. Okay. Your soul and your ego think and speak in your head in the same voice that you speak. So when you hear it, when you hear it, you think it's you. But it's not you. It's not you. But you think it is. So when you hear that voice that tells you this is the way that seems right unto you, but the end thereof is the ways of death, that's the one that tells you this is the way you should go. That's that voice telling you Proverbs 14 and Proverbs 16. That's the voice that speaks to you and seeks to get your will to make a decision to save your life in this world. That's the voice that speaks to you in your own tongue, sound, and you have to understand that that's not you. What has to happen is that has to be put to death, and you also have to recognize and realize that when that speaks, that that's not speaking in the interest of the kingdom of God and God's leading to you. So when that dies, and when you've put that to death, then what's happened is now what's left is the voice of the Spirit, which is this still small voice. I remember one time I had a friend praying for me, and a powerful woman of God from South America. And this is when, you know, too, for me, I was coming through just different healing in my own life. And as she was praying for me, I remember in my own, inside of me, I heard this other voice going as she's praying for me. And it was, and this voice was like, you know, was as she was praying and speaking certain things, this other voice was like, yeah, right, da 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 da, that, just going. And at one point she's...
Which means then she was talking...
That voice was also going as well. And then at one point she says, she spoke to that voice, that soul man in me, and she said, be quiet. You know, because she could, the Spirit of God showed her that voice speaking inside my own head that was also seeking to block receiving what the Spirit of God was doing.
Same thing happened with Jesus when with the Pharisees.
Exactly. So you have that is not you. And you have to realize that that is also something that is seeking to block the work of the Spirit of God in you. So one thing that, again, flip to Philippians 2, verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5. Philippians 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. So we need a new mind. We need a new heart. And God gives that to us. But the process is, and part of this whole process that we go through is realizing that, wait a second, this soul mind in me, this ego mind in me, is also not me. It's not the true you.
So ego in general is not.
It's not you. It's not who you are. It's actually part and parcel of what keeps people bound in this world. So that's something that, as you allow the Spirit of God to put that to death in you, what's left now is then that voice of the Spirit of God. See, we go through a stripping process as well when God gets into your life. When God gets into your life and gets into your heart and you yield to the will of God, what He starts doing is He starts stripping you down. And He starts exposing everything that's going on with you. And if you keep going with Him, He'll take you down to absolutely nothing. Including, that's one of the last things to go, by the way, is that voice that tries to speak in your head. But this process of Him stripping you down is to get you down to the bedrock of Christ Jesus, the cornerstone of Christ Jesus that your life now can be built upon. And then, once He's stripped you to that, then what He can do and what He starts to do is He starts to rebuild your life. But it's now Him building you up. So it's a process that He takes His time. So see, the world, again, the two kingdoms. The kingdom of the world is big, quick, now. That's the way that they work. So whatever it is, boom, instant gratification. You need it now. You need to become something now. Whereas the kingdom of God, God works, takes His time. He builds something up slowly. That's not to say that Satan doesn't take time to execute strategies against the people of God. He will sometimes take 40 years, 100 years to put... I mean, the fall of the Assemblies of God, the denomination. That took him some time.
What he's doing is he builds trust in the people and then he targets those.
Yeah, so that does take place. But by and large, again, the kingdom of this world, when it comes to the manifestation of selfishness in people's lives, it's quick decisions made for the sake of self that's in opposition to the path of life that God will call you to. So now, but God, what He does is He takes us down a path where also He strips us to the core. And He chips away, He allows us. See, even the circumstances that will come into your life when you're walking with Him, consider it pure joy when you face trials or tribulations of all kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith builds perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope. Hope does not disappoint. God allows those things to come into your life because what they do also is they chip away at all this other stuff that's in you that's not Him, and they reveal Christ in you. So you don't hide from the trial. The prayer is, God, take me through this and let me learn what it is that you need me to learn out of this, and you be manifested in me in this. You be glorified in this. Strengthen me to be able to walk with you and to shine your light through this thing. So like Acts 16 is a classic example of guys going through the trial that God puts them in and not seeking a way out, but going through it, and in the end, God being glorified, and other people being drawn to the light of Christ because these guys went through rather than trying to get out. Again, human nature is to try to get out. we don't want to struggle, and we don't want to have to deal with pain. It's shortcuts. Yeah,
human.
Or which?
Lousy neighbors.
Lousy neighbors. Yeah, human nature defaults to that, but the Spirit of God will continue to keep you on that path where, though you would in yourself not choose it, He will keep leading you down that way and strengthen you to go through it. So, okay. So now, on the path of life, here's one thing. You can't go by the natural appearance that you see for what's really going on. And you can't go by the natural appearance with people for where they're at with the Spirit of God. So, for example, and I'll give you a few. Oh, wait. All right. Scriptures tell us man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Right? Okay. Zacchaeus, Luke chapter 19. Okay. Luke, Matthew, Mark. Luke chapter 19. Verse 1 says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Okay. Zacchaeus was somebody who was bad on the outside, but inside he was really good. Inside he was a child of God. And when the light of Christ came his way, his response was, this is it. This is it. This is what I've been looking for. So though he had taken from the world, and when the true light of Christ was shown in his life, the true person that he was also manifest then. So outside he was a bad guy, and everybody, when they saw him, they're like, "Oh, this guy, he's the one of the worst that Jesus has gone to be with." But the manifestation of the Spirit of God, when it came. And when he encountered it, he's like, this is it. This is the pearl of great price. Even in Exodus 22 verse 7, when if somebody is caught for being a thief, they're supposed to restore double. And Zacchaeus here, he's like, I give fourfold back to anybody that I've stolen from. So even there, it's just like, he wasn't looking for, okay, what is just what I need to do to get right with God. He's like, I don't even care about this stuff anymore. I found what it is that I need. It's right here. I give half of what I got to the poor. I'd like the very thing that he was holding on to a little bit before, as soon as he found the truth, he let all of that go for what it is that was true. So there's a difference in the response that you get with him, because what you have is outside he was bad, inside he was good. Now contrast that to the Pharisees. Matthew 23. in verse 25, it says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, first clean that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Okay. So what you have here is you have people that outside good, inside bad. Zacchaeus, outside bad, inside good. So you have both situations. When Christ, when they encounter light, when they encounter truth, the true who they are is revealed. So you can't go by appearance. You can't go by what, because when somebody truly encounters the Spirit of God, that's when you really see, where is this person's heart? Where are they really coming from? And so he forces that. Now, you do have some people that are outside good, inside good, like John the Baptist. You know, in fact, since we're in Matthew, just flip back to Matthew 11:11, where it says, "Verily I say unto you, among them that be born of women, there hath not risen greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding that he that is least within the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." So John the Baptist was on point. He was inside and outside. He was on target. He was on track. This is somebody that just like, look, behold the Lamb of God. I mean, this was somebody that was on point with what God had for him. And that, in the end, is great. That's fantastic. That is ultimately what the reverse is somebody like Herod, you know, who Matthew chapter 2, which is outside bad, inside bad, just rotten through and through. And you get those people in the world. But I actually appreciate those ones more than the Pharisee type. Outside good, inside bad. Because at least with Herod, it's like, look, he's just evil. You know, he's outside he's evil, inside he's evil.
That is what you get when you know that he's evil and he is evil.
Yeah, yeah. And so in today's day and age, I much prefer, because he's not a hypocrite. He's
in his own way, he's just a evil man.
Yeah, yeah. Jesus called him a fox. You didn't call him a hypocrite. He's like, you. I mean, this is what you are. But I prefer somebody like Herod, because at least you know. I mean, it's like, He's just a wicked, evil person. But the ones who profess this external image, but inside the core of who they are, when the light of Christ is shown on them, you see what they're really about. And so those are the ones that are really dangerous, because too, what they end up doing is they condemn Zacchaeus. Do you see that? In the same story, in Luke 19, when Jesus is going to this guy's house, to the house of somebody who's a child of Abraham, who's a son of God, they're saying, "Where are you going, Jesus? What are you having anything to do with this guy who's one of your children?" Ultimately. So they will seek to keep the light of God away from the true children of God that maybe have gone down a wrong road for a while, but in their heart, that's who they are. So, see, here's the thing. It does you no good from an eternal perspective to be something that you're not. Because when people pass from this life into the next, what ends up happening is the true you is manifest into all eternity. So whatever you are on the inside, now is shown on the outside when you move to that dimension. So right now, like what happens is, you know, we have all our social graces and everything like that, and people will, you know, inside they'll they may have all these things going on inside them, but they put on a certain facade on the outside. But when you pass from this life into the next, everything that you are inside now is out. And that's why too, it's like for Zacchaeus, hey brother, you're fine, because inside who you are is a child of God, and you salvation has come to this house. You are in agreement with Christ, you're in agreement with the host, you're walking with him, you're cool. Versus the Pharisees, who diligently studied the scriptures because they thought by them they possessed life, but they missed the one that they were speaking about, and inside they were rotten to the core. So what's manifest when they pass from this life to the next is all of a sudden the core that's rotten is now exposed for all eternity. So that's why too, it's like, if let the Spirit of God, Jesus' advice to even the Pharisees, he's like, look, clean the inside of the cup, let the inside of the cup be washed by the Spirit of God, let God open up your heart and your life and wash through you and flow through you and make you a new person. Let the inside of the cup be clean. So even
with the sawdust.
With the what?
The sawdust of the plank.
The plank. So why do you remove a speck from, you try to get a speck out of your brother's eye when you got a log in your own? Yeah. In fact, Chandala gave a really good message on Sunday, and one thing that he's talking about too was, he just said, you know, you can Elohim and Yahweh are two names for God. But Elohim is one that reflects God's position in judgment, and Yahweh is one that reflects God's position in compassion. And how so many people, their response to others is based out of a response of judgment, whereas what is necessary is a response to people out of a response from compassion. And when you see the move that Jesus took with people, is so often he responded to people where they were at out of a heart of compassion for where they were. And that's why too, you see the miracles that he did came when he was touched with where somebody was at. So that's why too, all these denominational churches are dead, because theirs is again judgment. And then they want the power of God there too. But Jesus' response when the power of God was there was out of a heart of compassion when he did his miracles. So he was moved with compassion when he saw the mother with the dead son. He was moved with compassion when he saw people that were sick. He was moved with compassion when he fed the 5,000. Because he was like, he saw them, and like when people came chasing after him, he was moved with compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So his heart was a heart of compassion for them. So that what's necessary to begin this whole thing is honesty. You begin with honesty before God, and you're like, God, this is me, here I am, this is where I'm at, this is, you see me, you know me, you nothing is hid from your eyes. So God, I give it all to you. I give you everything that I am right now, and just take this life and do with it as you wish. But there's no justification at all before him. There's no God, okay, nothing like that. Just come to him and let it be raw and let it be real. And let him expose, come into the light and allow the light of God to expose your heart and where it is that you are. And let him deal with, let him begin to deal with those different things. Let him begin to clean the inside of the cup. So like Zacchaeus, it's like, yeah, Jesus, come home. You're welcome to be a guest in my house. And anything that I need to do to be right with you, I'll do it in a second, because I want you to stay. I want your company. See, one thing too was in that culture, when you sit down and eat with somebody, you come into agreement with the host. So in order for him to be in agreement with Jesus, some things had to change. And so for us too, it's like, in order for us to be in agreement with Jesus and for us to have his continuous presence and fellowship, like when he shows something to you, when he convicts you of something in your heart, you're like, all right, Lord, I need to change. And I want to change. And because I want this connection with you more than I want anything else in this life, anything else in this world. And then what happens is that he strengthens you to do that. Now, because of the fact that we're also human and we're also carnal, we do make mistakes. But when you make a mistake, don't live in that, don't wallow in that. Get up, dust yourself off, and keep moving with the Father. So just, you get up, you keep moving with him. So we're running out of time. So but one thing too with this, and maybe we'll pick it up from here next week, but the path of life is the path of light and truth. And it's also the path of purpose. See, so one thing that God does is like, okay, start looking through different people in the Bible. So Peter's a fisherman, and God says, Jesus says, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Moses and David were shepherds. And what did they end up doing? They ended up shepherding the entire nation of Israel. Paul was trained to be a teacher, and he ended up teaching the new church that God raised up during that day and age. So one thing is the path of life and direction by the Spirit of God is also the path of purpose. But what he does is he takes everything that he's put in you and every gifting that you have, and he empowers it by his Spirit, and then creates for you the opportunity for the exercising of those gifts in a way that he's destined and he's planned. But that also comes from being in position with the Spirit of God so that that can take place. Now if you go down the path of the world, you're out of position with the Spirit of God, so you're not in the place where that can happen. And then also what they end up doing is they end up using those skills that you have to build their Babylonian system. And so you're building something that's at enmity with the Spirit of God. So you're either building the world, or you're building the part of building the kingdom of God. So there is no middle ground. So if you do your own, nobody's doing their own thing. If you do your own thing, you're building the world. So we're all in this process of being set free. You know, we're all in this process of allowing God to work with us. We submit to that process. And so we'll talk about this a little bit more next week. But I think we can stop there for tonight, since time has gone so fast.